Praise God. Well, we're going to continue on with speaking the truth. I thought maybe I was done. And God said, no, you're not. Sometimes we just need to hear some things. I know there's been a few preachers that I watch short video clips that kind of works pretty good for me. And truths are spoken. And it hits me. Some of it hurts. That's when you know it's kind of truth. We all know the 23rd Psalm, don't we? Most of us can quote it by heart because we've heard it nearly every funeral we've ever been at. But David wasn't writing this about death. He was writing it about life, about his walk with God. So 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. Remember what I just prayed. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He's the one person who can say never. The second you say never, you're going to get tempted. You're going to get tried. I will never speed. If you go 1 mile an hour over, you are legally speeding. So watch what you say. But that's not what I wanted to look at. He said, the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I've shared with you this before about shadows. Shadows require something. Light. They need light to be casting a shadow. We always look at this is a hard time in my life. I'm battling a sickness or a disease, right? Or there's an injury or there's death in my family. We don't look at it as death is just the wages of sin. That's Romans. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I still have no idea how this thing keeps blowing up on me. The devil wants to twist what God has told you. If God has told you to trust him with your children, you need to trust him with your children. And we were just talking about this yesterday even, how that is one of the most difficult things to do, is to let go of your children and let God have them. You know, I know right now it's kind of hard to think about letting go of Maverick someday. Which, by the way, he was trying to keep beat with his eyelids with Justin. He's sitting there here, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to pass out. He just said, but he's hilarious. I love him. But it's kind of hard to think about that. One day you're going to have to let him go. Go to the world. Because the world's cold. The world is cruel. But God is with him. And you see, when you trust God in all things, that valley that may seem like it's the devil's there to intimidate you. I'm going to do this to your kid. I'm going to do that, right? A lot of us have heard that. I'm going to destroy them. Even Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I've prayed for you because the devil has asked to sift you like wheat. You ever stop and think about that? We sift flour, but to get wheat free and clear of all the chaff, it takes a beating. I've removed the threshing floors in an old barn, and they're that thick. They're held with gigantic nails, and they used to take, they'd open one door on this side and one door on this side, and they'd start beating the wheat. And that chaff would blow through the barn and blow right out the back. That's what the devil wanted to do to Peter. Think about that. What Jesus was saying, but I've prayed for you that your faith will hold you. See, the devil comes out and says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That's the shadow. The light is always there. The light never went away. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The word you speak to me, Lord God, is that which I hold on to for my children. It may seem like they fall down, but they get back up. And if nobody ever falls down, how will you ever learn mercy and compassion? But I believe, brother, that you don't have to. Well, you already fell. Because you got a little too uppity in your own britches. Because we all fall down. We got to spend some time with the kids last night. And I looked over at Harper, and she's got all these little tiny little scabs on her forehead. And I said, Harper, what'd you do? She said, I fell down in the rocks. Oh, I bet that hurt. She's like, it did. She's very frank. And so then later on, we're in the house, and Turner's getting, he's been changed. He's out of his jeans and stuff, and he's running around there in his little onesie. And I look over, and his legs are just skinned up. And I'm like, I know what happened there. And it was the sidewalk. I used to hate sidewalks when I was a child. I lived in Cleveland. Everything was concrete. You couldn't walk around anywhere without stubbing your toe. And when I mean stubbing it, I mean removing 20 layers of skin. It seemed like that summer I was always limping. When I got to the country and I could run around barefooted, yay! And then the reality of living in the country, there's clover in the yard. And there's bees in the yard. So half the summer I'd walk around with a swollen foot. But you let go of your children. God has said, I won't leave them or forsake them. Give them to me. Trust me. In the garden, make sure I'm going right. In the garden, the first thing the devil did was he twisted the word of God. He said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden? He questioned the word of God. What has he told you lately? Did God really say that? Did God really say Xander will be fine? Yes, he did. Well, I just don't know. It's so hard. I get it. We don't understand everything. But we need to side with God on this stuff. That's why arguing over the rapture is pointless. Because it's a doubtful thing. I personally don't want to go through any garbage. Let's just be honest. Life has been hard enough. But bless God, if I got to, he's on my side. Still not taking a mark. Don't worry about it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I hold on to that dearly. When we walk our path, Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So if you're believing and trusting for your children, right there is what God has said about it. Even though they fall, they won't be utterly cast down. Because you planted the seed. See, Proverbs tells us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The only thing most people remember about children in Proverbs is beating them. You're sick. Because it said to train them up. Get the word of God in them. That's why I had a confidence. Have, not had. I have a confidence in my children. They may get knocked down, but they'll get back up. Because I've been there. I went there. I experienced it. Got the scars to prove it. As many of you do. But somebody somewhere sowed a seed of the word into your life. That word is a light. It's a lamp, and it illuminates your path. Romans 3 does say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's the very first thing that the devil did? He distorted the truth. Did God say this? He caused doubt. When he tempted Jesus on the mountain, what did he say? If you be. I've heard some preachers say he didn't know who he was. Wrong. It's called doubt. And that's what he needs to get you to do. The lies from the enemy will tell a child, if your mommy and daddy loved you, they wouldn't punish you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Because I never did it because I enjoyed it. But as we were talking about the children and the difference in children, and I know you teachers can see the ones who are actually disciplined at home versus the ones who are just free range, as the word goes. They do whatever they want. And yeah, we've got a whole nother world. It's not the same. And our children, our boys would come home and they'd talk about kids. And I remember Joshua the first time he said, they just need a spanking. You're 9. And you figured this out. But the problem with so many people is they've gotten hold of a concept that, well, spare the rod, spoil the child. You use the rod when it's for rebellion. Discipline is a lifestyle. Kids don't get to just run and do whatever. You need to get up. You need to respect your elders. There's so many things that was not taught. Because at some point, somewhere along the line, truth got skewed. Stand when you shake the hand of another man. And especially if they're older than you. You offer somebody who's older than you your seat, male or female. You hold the door open. It's just courtesy. Justin kind of he didn't make the mistake, but he made the mistake of getting out in front of somebody he was holding the door open for with a walker last night. Well, the lady got in the vestibule of Cracker Barrel and she stopped, but that didn't stop the flow of traffic. He's just standing there and he's like, I knew I messed up. Everybody took advantage of it. But he showed courtesy still. And God will not turn a blind eye to that. See, we weren't taught things. When you need to teach your children things about life. And you need to be honest with them. Sometimes life's going to haul off and kick you up the side of the head. Be humble. Tim McGraw doesn't have to sing the song about being humble and kind for us to be humble and kind, now do we? But it's a great song. Jesus is also the light. The light is the word. The word is the light. The light illuminates our path. What does the Bible say? Do you want to know why so many people are tossed to and fro in their faith? Because they don't know the word. They don't know what it says. Oh, but it shouldn't be this hard. My definition of hard and your definition are probably two different things. Some people's definition of hard is we don't have cable. Crying out loud, most of you grew up like I did. Periodically, Dad would be up there on the tower turning it because the motor went out. That's it, Dad. We'd have a three-way passage of the word. Yeah, that's it. Hold on. And if many of you were like me, you were the remote for many years. You were the remote. Turn that down. Change that channel. I got real good with the UHF fine adjustment. Remember those days? That's not hard life. Hard life is sitting in a car that you can see the road through the floorboard. Yeah. Yep. Ours was a 64 and a half Mustang. Man, I really did love that car, but it didn't last long. Not when the back seat where I sat is where the hole was. When there's five of you children and two adults and you're in the single cab of a 1977 Ford pickup, and it's a standard. I look back and I think, oh my Lord. Dad, Mom, I'm at the door. My brother sit between my knees. My little sister stood behind my other sister, Barbie, and my little brother sat on my mom's lap. And we went to church every day. So I don't want to hear your excuse. Well, we just don't have a way. The only reason we weren't riding in the bed of the truck was because if you know 70 series 4 years of Fords, the bed was not really there. We had a piece of metal in the floor. Dad went back one time. He looked back and said, well, you guys ain't riding back here no more. He said, there's nothing underneath that metal. And we would drive to Columbus. Going down 71, we're just waving at people. Having a ball, having the time of our life. But the reality is, folks, God has never promised you an easy life. He said, I wish that it was impossible. What do you think those traps, a scandalon, offense? What do you think offenses are? They're things come to trip you up. Just like Eve, she bought it first. But the real problem happened when Adam bought it, because Adam was the covering for all mankind. Just like Jesus is today, he's our covering. It was an offense. It was the shadow in his path. The light was still there. He believed the shadow more than he believed the light. We have lots of different stories here. Many of them I know. And I can look around and I know bad things that have happened in your lives. Some of the tragedies, recent and years gone by, God didn't cause them. But God can heal them. We just have to trust him. I want you to work on trusting God and his word. What does he say about me? And by the way, another issue we were talking about. Here's the other piece of my iron. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. We sit facing each other from about me to Miss Sherry. I'll get it out. I'm trying to get the appointment. They're just waiting for authorization. And we sit there and we sharpen each other. Talk about the word. Manners days, I'm like, holy moly, what time is it? We've been talking for 3 hours about God. But one of the things we talked about was, you all have all heard about generational curses. And everybody, and I'm going to help you out. I personally believe in stuff that works. I'm not into voodoo. I'm not into telling you to hold this enchantment around your neck for 6 weeks and God will heal you. No, I don't believe that one iota. I've seen people go through prayer lines. They will stand in prayer line meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting to try to break a generational curse. But they go home and they act like the same idiot that they walked in as. The curse was broken on the cross. You've got to make a change in your life. It's up to you. Do you embrace the depression that haunts you? Will you not get the attention that it used to bring? Remind yourself who you are. I am a child of light now. God loves me. He died for me. God didn't beat you. I can't help what your father did. I can look in my own family's histories on both sides and I can follow a pattern. And I said, that's it. I'm not participating in this curse. The thinning hair and the retreating hairline, I can't do anything about. But I can be there for my family. I can speak life to my children, to my grandchildren. I can love my wife as I do myself. And you can ask her. She doesn't find me out there in the barn with a board hitting myself. That's usually by accident. Usually it comes out of the table saw at very high speed. I don't beat myself, so why would I beat my wife? And, you know, and she alluded to it this morning. Not, marriage isn't perfect. It's two people trying to conform to change their idea, their points of view, and you're going to butt heads. But you figure it out and you keep marching. Yep. I remember she joked. She was joking about the killing me thing, right? But I remember the day we had that conversation. We were just having a really rough time. Our lives were upside down. And we finally just collapsed with each other. We were tired of fighting. And we both admitted there were opportunities to stray. And we never did. And we both looked at each other. And I remember she said, yeah, I thought about killing you. What? Let me take a step back here. And I was like, crap. Now I've got to sleep with one eye open. No. We got our stuff together. We talked it out. We repented to each other. That's what marriage is about. Overcoming the struggles, the obstacles. Because we took an oath before God, until death do us part. And that means something. Again, the whole, don't worry, she's not going to kill me. She doesn't really care to sew, so I'm not getting sewed into the sheets and beaten. But God's word is the truth. It doesn't matter who is saying what right now. What is God saying about it? What has God said about it? What has he said? He said, if you will be faithful, is one of the first things. You've got to be faithful to him. To him. Just like you're faithful to your spouse. And if you're not faithful to your spouse, you better rectify that real stinking quick. Because while we joke about, there are some wives who have killed their husbands. We were just talking about Lorena Bobbitt the other day. Don't know any man that would like to visit that experience. But yet, we say, I break this generational curse. Well, if you're going to break it, you got to do something physically about it. You got to do something. Well, divorce, we know families that divorce. Every couple in that family is divorced. And some of them only been married 2 years. Was that about the shortest one? 2 years. Oh, for crying out loud, that's still stinking honeymoon period. I mean, you still got, oh, good. No. They won't break it because of their pride. They want to think, well, I'm right. That's usually what happens, is it not? I'm not talking about abuse. Totally different situation. I do not believe God wants any person to stay in a situation where they are being harmed. I'll take my licks from God on that one. Because I don't believe he wants you being beaten and abused, male or female. Because I knew some men that their wives could stand toe-to-toe with them. The couple I'm thinking of, they were both Samoan. So you can imagine how that went. If you can imagine Dwayne Johnson with a wife just like him. But you see, people don't want to stay because their word means nothing, because they think God's word means nothing. That's why we break vows. We think God broke a vow. God never broke a vow. All of his promises come with a stipulation. Did he not tell Cain, if you do good, will you not be received? Did he not tell us to choose life? You choose this day whom you will serve. Choose life or death. Choose life that you may have it more abundantly. But we choose to do things the world's way. Why? Based on our personalities, what we hold on to. Of all the people in here, I shouldn't be in church. We've talked, I've shared much of my story with you, let alone being up here. Because of lies. And when I told God, I want to know you and me, right? I want to know you and me. Not you, me, and her. You and me are the relationship. Yes, we combine with the Holy Spirit here. But for my personal relationship with Christ, it's him and me. Because guess what? She sees things sometimes a little different than I do. And I know God. And I'm here to tell you, I may get knocked down, but I ain't out of the fight. Been a little guy most of my life, and you usually get knocked down, but you fight your way back up. Most people don't realize that most of the military's highest awards and some of the real baddies in the military are my size or smaller. That's it. There's one guy, he's Vietnam, and he's considered one of the baddest soldiers of all time, and he looks like a chemistry teacher in high school. You're just like, so don't judge the fight. But if you trust God's word, you remember that light's there for a reason. It's illuminating what's trying to trip you up. Be a man or a woman enough to identify what's trying to trip you up and deal with it. And I'm going to tell you right now, the first step for me was forgiveness. I had to forgive a lot of people. And I still have to work on it. I remind myself when those thoughts come in, I forgive them, Lord. Because I don't want my sin coming back. I was going to read in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. He said, lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? He's not leading you into temptation on that road, but the temptation's there. But that temptation comes, as James says, because of our person, because of us internally. Things that happened to us. Things that we heard and believed. It makes us who we are. I don't care who you are. Things somebody told you, good, bad, or indifferent, they mattered to you. So you have to trust God's word, what he says about you. And realize that he sent his son to die for you, even if you were the only one. Not because you would receive him, but that you could. So God's word doesn't waver. It's always holding the truth. He knows the pain. He knows the scars on your heart. That's right where they're at. They're on your heart. You will have them forever. Scars remain. I can look all over my body. Some of the scars have faded. But if I look real hard, I can just see that scar right there from when I was 11 years old trying to make a corncob pipe using the trimming shears to cut the corncob. It's amazing what an 11-year-old can do when he looks down and he sees bone. He's like, well, I ain't telling mom and dad about this. I didn't show them about that one. I didn't show them that one. When I was cutting the fenders off of my model car and my little penknife. Yeah. It's like I got scars all over. They're not all bad. Some of them I was working, right? There's one from siding. But just like those, I can look on my hands, on my body. I see the scars. I know right what caused them, how it happened. We do the same thing with the internal scars. We know. Things will trip memories. And that's why I've told you about music. Music is music. And it can be used for evil, and it can be used for good. But if you start finding, if you deal with anger and you start finding yourself riled up by a song, you better just hit skip. Get out of that one. You don't need it. Because it's going to take you to a bad place. I've started discovering songs I didn't know existed. And they're ministering life and peace. And not all of them are actually Christian songs. I just told you, Tim McGraw sang the kind, I don't know what it's entitled, most of you know what it is. But he also sang a song called More Power to You, which was written by Greg Volz and Bob Hartman from the group Petra in the 80s. But more power to you when you're standing on his word. When you're trusting in your whole heart on the message you have heard, more power to you. We need that power, and that power comes through faith, through trusting God, through trusting the light that is illuminating the path. Because the path is dark. I wouldn't want to be anybody trying to walk in this world right now and understand what's going on without Jesus Christ. You'd just be banging your head against a wall. What is going on? I'm not one bit scared. I've read Revelation several times. I think, ooh, yeah, there's some funky stuff about to happen. It's all over. More power to you. Hold on to that truth. If you quit, the devil wins. Just all there is to it, he wins. Well, I just walked away. Yeah, you quit. Quitter. I don't have a problem walking away from things that are going to destroy me. Things that are not God's will for my life. But I won't walk away from God. I won't walk away from the calling he has on my life. You know, as I get older, I think, Lord, is retirement in my future or not? And you know what? I'm like, as long as I can preach, I'll preach. That's just all there is to it. As long as there's breath in my lungs, I'll speak the word of God. I'll tell people the truth. And sometimes, you know, when you tell people the truth, let's be careful. Do it in love. Some people are like, I'm just brutally honest. No, you're a jerk. Because you aren't brutally honest with yourself. Well, I just got to tell it like it is. Can we tell it like it is? And you not go off and tell how the pastor is a meanie? You know how many times I've had that happen? He's just so mean. It's because I love you. Well, love me a little gentler. No, you're going to go out there and you're going to fight the enemy with no weapons, no skills. We were talking about our drill instructors and how they were hard on us. They were mean. Army's the same way. They're mean. They don't want to be your best friend. Do you know what they told me? I'm your mama. I'm your daddy. And it's like, really? Then you find out how mean they can be. They can be cruel. I can't believe it. Mothers of America has ruined the military. They're a group that got involved. You need to be gentler on our boys. I'm going to tell you right now, if my boy's going into combat, I want him to be the meanest rattlesnake in the group. My dad wasn't necessarily easy on us. And I've talked to my brother, and he said, I wouldn't have it any other way. I did 6 tours. And I survived because of it. But we want the daddy that's going to always be there. Yeah. I'm always there for my boys, but I always told them, I said, get up. That's something I've heard this last week several times. If you want a man, quit babying him. But if you want a little boy when he retires, you keep coddling. Dads, that's what we want. And the preacher I was listening to, he said, when our children, our boys particular, he said, when they're little, he said, they're with mama, and mamas protect. That's what you mamas are built for. You are she bears. Somebody comes after your baby, you're going after them. However, the papa bear, he knows he's got to go out. And the world's going to tell him. People are going to make fun of him. They're going to say things and do things to him. And he's going to have to be tough. I can't use the term little Johnny anymore. I wanted to say, when little Johnny falls down, you can't go running up, oh, let me kiss your boo-boo, buddy. I love it. All my grandkids, I mean, they may go head over heels on their bike down the gravel driveway. I'm okay. Turner still cries. But if they're really hurt, they cry. But I love it. I hear my granddaughter, boop, 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 I'm okay. I got a feeling when she fell on her face and got all those little spots on her noggin, she jumped up and said, I'm okay. Okay, that hurts. Because sometimes you're going to fall down. Sometimes you're going to walk into your own hitch on your truck. Oh, yeah. It's a real thing. The tears. But you know, most of the time I left my hitch in ever since I got rear-ended in Marion one day. All it did was collapsed the receiver. Otherwise, it did end up bending the frame a little bit, but that's all it did. It totaled that girl's car. I mean, it pulled the front end right off of her car. Well, didn't you walk into it? Once. That day forward, I walked around it. And now the only reason I don't have it in there is because I go through an automatic car wash. And when they see my hitch on, they push a button. And it doesn't send anything across the back to clean the tailgate. And it's like, well, I got sides washed. The back looks like I went down a Morrow County road. You learn. Jump up. I'm okay. I know your dad probably told you that too. Your dad. I know Marines. Is it missing? No. Get up. All right, let's stand. If you're ever in doubt on what God's truth is, read it. Open your Bible. And there's on here, finally downloaded the actual app on my tablet here of Bible Gateway. It's awesome. You want to know what it says in Hebrew? You better know how to read Hebrew, because it's going to be Hebrew. It's not going to be a translated version. I forget how many different versions of it they've got. It's wonderful. It's free. Get in there and one question, you can ask passages. Brother, don't you think we ought to be opening our Bibles and studying and spending hours? Why would God give us the technology to be able to find something that quick? I need an answer now. I'm not living in the world that I did in 1980. And it's crazy to think how far back that really was. But back then, all you had was a bunch of books. You go into every preacher's office, and the wall has got books, 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 books. I got all those books right here. Technology is a good thing. It's not all evil. Especially good when it works. But get in your Bible. Again, I challenge you. Start in Proverbs. Read. You may not understand everything. Just read it. Let the Holy Spirit reveal to you the truth of what His Word says. Because, you know, contrary, I know people say, well, God meant to cut your hand off. I see it more as a metaphor for getting away from the things that so easily beset you. Because the point he made was actually valid. But anyhow, if you have to get to that point, you one hard-headed son of a gun. That's just all there is to it. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is light, that it is truth, that you sent it in the form of your Son, Jesus, to speak into our lives, to become a part of our everyday life. Lord, I thank you right now that you're leading us through your Holy Spirit, that you are illuminating that word onto our path, that we will see the obstacles ahead. We will see what is just a shadow and pass by it. Father, I thank you that you've never left us. You've never forsaken us. Lord, I thank you that you know. You've known us since our mother's wombs. And you knew the future for us. You knew the plans. And Father, it is our desire to honor you, to make our papa proud. So we thank you for that privilege. And Lord, I thank you for your people. I bless them, Father God. I bless their places of business. I bless their businesses, their endeavors, Lord God. I thank you that you're moving mightily in their behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.